Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Goddess Divine podcast. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. Many people have reached out to me asking for more information on the ancient primordial goddess Asherah. She's an ancient Canaanite goddess. I have given an episode before, and I also did a channeling session. However, there is an additional channeling session that I did with a friend of mine, and it is way, way longer than some of the episodes that I create, but many people have asked for it. So I am going to be presenting that to you guys today. So I hope you enjoy today's episode.
All right. For the divine being that just stepped in, can you please let us know your name?
Okay, I heard Asherah. I have been called towards you.
Asherah. Hello, Asherah. Thank you for joining us.
She said, I am here to help.
Okay. So you are an ancient goddess. Where do you come from originally?
She asked a question. She said, do you mean like which pantheon? Do you mean like which land or which pantheon?
Let's go with which pantheon.
Okay. I originate from the old world between the Tigris and Euphrates is what I heard.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And she said even more land within that area. That is her place of origin.
Okay. Can you be a little bit more specific as to which lands you originated from?
Yes, she did say, it's interesting. She said Canaanite, but she also, I don't have to look on a map. I don't know where Jordan is near there, but I hear like the Jordan area as well. I don't know how far that is, to be honest.
Okay. Okay, but that's nice. Okay. So what was the significance of your worship in ancient Canaanite society? And how did it impact the lives of women, men, and children?
I heard she was a mother and a healer. Many men worshipped her, or worshipped her place, worshipped her position. She was a mother to many, a mother goddess. But she wants to stress also that she was a healer for many as well. And then also I heard her say abundance. Abundance was her focus in the past.
Okay.
But she wants to keep stressing primordial goddess.
Primordial goddess. Could you go into more detail about that with us?
Mother of the Earth. She was an originator here, a creator. She was a mother of many pantheons, she said, that emerged on the Earth plane. And her arrival here was great.
So in your various depictions, you are sometimes portrayed as a powerful and independent figure, and other times as a consort to other deities. How do you reconcile these seemingly contrasting roles?
She did say she is a great deity. And yes, she was a consort to a great god who became the monotheistic leader that has emerged here on your plane. She was independent in her own right. She was a liberated woman, is what I heard. And she led many people. And her worship was great. Many came to her for help and ideas and inspiration and insight. But she combined her energy with the masculine aspect.
Okay.
And that combination was helpful for many to see the lightness and the dark, she said. To see the balance of the two equally, as that is what they represented with consort deities.
Okay.
But nonetheless, she is great, she said, and independent.
Love that. Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So you share similarities with goddesses from other cultures, such as Ishtar, Kadesh, and Anat. How do you view these connections and similarities? Mm-hmm.
She's saying she was, okay, in her words, she was cross-represented in other places. Many, she used the word diffusion. So ideas were shared amongst many other cultures when they came into contact. So they would take little pieces of her and share them. Or, no, she didn't say share. She said, what's the word? She's showing me, like, they took what she represented and then attached it to another existing deity.
Okay.
Then they embodied her aspects. So this is interesting. She said cross-pollinated, like, her tools and her aspect across other, you know, gods or goddesses. So, and she's frequently attached to them.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Cross-pollinate. I just heard that word the other day too. Crazy.
That is crazy.
Okay, so your worship seems to have faded away with the changing religious landscape. Do you have any thoughts on why this happened? And if there are ways your message can be relevant to people today?
I heard yes. As to the loss of herself, or the loss of self, of her identity, that was a man-made issue. Man decided that, or there was a preference to be had where man was greater than what was there at the time. Therefore, he emerged as the liberator, as the God aspect, while the goddess was, there's a word she's saying, but I can't pick up. The goddess was erased in time. Therefore, she has been sitting waiting for her return to be useful again for others. As to, like, her feelings about it, I'm curious. What do you think about that loss or that change? She's saying that something, it's interesting because she's saying there was a loss that she had that happened in parallel to the emergence of her consort being the leader and the liberator. She keeps using that word, like, he was seen as the liberator, which is what her aspect was as a deity, to liberate others, to give them freedom and insight. But the people, or man-made kings, I heard her say that, decided otherwise, and to imprint her tasks upon another. I heard that clearly. And therefore, he became the liberator, and he became the quote-unquote rightful king amongst others. And yes, while the loss is great, she is available to help nonetheless, regardless of what has happened.
Okay. Can you share with us some ways that we can use your message for today?
Yes. Freedom. Being your rightful heir to yourself. Liberation. These are what she represents. Independence and insight. This is how she prefers to help others here who are lost, who need liberation, who need freedom of self and freedom of expression, she said, but who need to be liberated from even their pain, but from the ills of the world as well. This is why she has come today to speak directly to many of us who seek her help. She would like to be useful in this way, liberation and freedom from your fellow men.
I love that.
Me too. Me too.
Okay. So what is your relationship with the natural world, and how can people connect with the sacred feminine through nature?
I heard her say yes. It is a task for many people here to reconnect to, I heard, the motherland and the stillness of the earth. Many have separated themselves from planetary healing insight and from the heart of this place. She's saying also that she wants to say that when you connect with the earth, it actually generates healing inside of you. And she is actually showing me, like, she's placing her hand on, like, I don't know if it's my head or her head, but the back. And she keeps going like this, saying, like, there's energy there that it connects to. There's divine energy that the earth realm connects to. And when you are present, you can tap into that. And it is like a healing balm that the earth provides when we go outside and connect to. She used the word Gaia. So if it befits you to reconnect, then she said, make some time to place your hands upon the earth or the soil of the earth and speak to her. She has insight there to soothe your soul.
When we talk about Mother Gaia, now that's planet Earth. Is that like another divine goddess, deity, just planet Earth? Like, who is Mother Gaia?
She said, Gaia is the mother of all things on your plane. And she said she is the mother of all entities too. She gives us life and she breathes life into us with her oxygen. And she is a grand being. And she's a helper here. But she is a presence, a kind one, a generous one. One who brings forward, and I want to make sure I heard this right, brings forward all things. She said, a nurturing energy. She supplies nutrients to all the creatures on the earth, and abundantly so. She gives and gives, yet the people take and take, and there is almost a lack of gratitude. And there is, oh, this is interesting too. She said there is a great remorse for what is happening here upon the land, which is Gaia. And she said Gaia has consciousness. Gaia is aware, but she's a great entity. She is a profound being. And yes, she's the mother. She's a mother goddess. That is her energy and that is her light. She said, as a deity, you may speak with her. She has knowledge to share, profound knowledge.
Did she come to existence around the same time that you came here?
It's a good question. I heard I arrived later, after the land masses were solid. Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So she was here first.
I heard yes, for a time at least. And she said, as the other planets were developing too,
each planet have their own mother, Gaia?
She said each planet is an independent being. They are themselves consciously aware. They are not a mother spirit, as you have asked, but they are independent.
Interesting. Interesting. We might have to dive into that later. Okay. So moving on. You are associated with fertility and abundance. What is your perspective on the ability to be abundant?
She said many have asked for help in this department on your planet Earth. Many have asked for assistance and guidance when it comes to even fertility. She said the capability of being abundant, of creation. And this is a complication for many, given your earth plane and the complexity of life and the challenges that are presented here as a planetary animal. As a human. To be fertile is to be creative in the mind itself. It is to have thought, and it is to fertilize the earth plane with your creativity to make manifest what is inward, and to use the light inside to co-create your image, to create, she used a word, but I don't think this is a real word, to create fertily or something like that. To create abundantly. To be abundant is, she said, first and foremost, it is simply to create and generate ideas. And she said, oh, this is interesting. So abundance or fertility is the maximization of thought.
Ooh. Oh, I wish I could write that down.
I know, right?
Can you say that again?
She said, she either used the word fertility or abundance is the maximization of thought.
Okay.
She said it is to co-create alongside the divine mind. But abundance is having a fertile mind and allowing those inner thoughts to emerge into something manifest on your earth plane. That is what abundance truly is. And all divinities have this, regardless of their place and regardless of their status. We all give back with ourselves, with our passions. And that is how we thrive here, with creativity. This emerges from the inward self. She has a question for you. What do you think of that?
I completely agree. Absolutely. 110%.
I have a question. Can you ask her, what about the challenges of bringing that about, bringing your ideas to form? Because sometimes, not always, but sometimes it takes quite a bit of money. Can you ask her what her thoughts are on that?
Yeah. What do you think about the challenges that we as humans face as a human being? We know we can create, but what are your thoughts on the challenges that we deal with?
She said, yes, there are challenges here for yourself as you create from the inward path or the inward light, something like that. Many people otherwise give up because they do not have the stamina to create, even when the blocks happen, even when there are roadblocks in your path. Many spirits choose not to continue their greatness due to unexpected situations that arise. Whether these are financial, whether there are health issues, whether it's something else. These are challenges along the path of all creation. And she even said all deities experience this. That's interesting. She said even whether it's a financial matter, she wants to say that within all, she wants to just step back for a minute and say that all spirits create, it is their divine heritage that underpins everything is creation, your ability to do that. And here in this world, in this life, as a human, your ability to create is great. That is the path you all take as human beings, as life itself. But we understand the difficulties that arise when you try to, when your ideas try to emerge in an abundant fashion. And she's saying along these lines, we will help to bring about your greatness, to magnify it, to inspire it. But yes, the details matter. And it can be a hard thing, or there is difficulty when your greatness is so huge and it is suspended in time due to financial issues. But that should not deter you. Do not endeavor to linger about due to, she said, the halts that happen to the road, due to the roadblock, something like that. Even if those happen, these are not stop signs within themselves. They are opportunities to reassess your situation, your inspiration, and your creation. Reassess them, and a new thought will emerge that will inspire you further. And perhaps some insight will come that will bring to your awareness the opportunity for the necessary abundance to arrive.
Okay. That makes sense. Does that make sense to you, Deanna?
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, because money is a frequency and you have to match up to it and it'll come.
And she's saying, okay, when you're talking, I heard her say it will be downloaded. You can ask her what it is, but I heard her say that.
Okay. Can you clarify that? What do you mean it will be downloaded?
Okay, the thought. She's saying the thought that is in you, really. She said the thought will be impressed upon the self to help overcome that hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is a thought to inspire you, a divine thought, or a thought to acquire what is necessary, acquire the means to help you move forward on your path.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Agree. Okay. And there's a story that I want to share with that, but we're going to move on and I will bring it up.
Sure.
Okay. So for the next question, in your myths, you are often depicted as fierce and protective. How can individuals and communities cultivate healthy expressions of these qualities in the modern world?
Mm-hmm. She said, community matters, community with all beings to inspire and create, but yes, to, yes, as fierce protectors as well, to help each other with tenuous situations, with difficulties in life. From a communal perspective, this is where we are mother cubs with one another, from her words. We surround each other with goodwill, with good health, with abundance and creative ways or creative tools used to inspire each other. That is the purpose of all beings. And she's saying that in terms of fierce protection, let us align our words. And I don't know why I just heard that. I'm like, let us. Who's us? I'm like, wait a minute. I thought it was just you. I heard, let us align our words. It is our goal to help lend our, and she keeps using the word inspire, inspiration, to help with these situations, or with these questions. Oh, thank God. I was like, what are you saying? She's saying to be a fierce leader requires compassion. It requires helping each other, the same way as one would protect someone else requires compassion. And she said, also love for each other. And as a fierce leader, what an individual embodies, what somebody embodies as a leader is wanting to have the fiercest type of compassion to protect each other. She said fierceness and compassion are, should be like brother and sister, which is interesting. She said many people do not have compassion. They do not help each other in that way because of their thoughts of individuality. Yet we are all one and the same. And therefore, we must have that inner desire to love and protect each other. But it is through compassion that we do so. And it is through compassion that we heal each other and that we are mindful of one another. She said, all of this in a nutshell should inspire leadership, a fierce one.
Truth. Okay. Wisdom and compassion are often attributed to you. What guidance can you offer individuals seeking personal growth and inner peace?
Well, she said, in terms of a wise and being a wise being, it's funny. She said, everybody contains like inner light. Your inner light is wise beyond your years. We all have that. We all come from the same, we all spring forth from the same well. Therefore, all beings have the light inside that is indeed wise and compassionate and loving, all of these things. And we all can access that regardless of your, of where you are, regardless of who you are. We all have the ability to access that light. And she did say access that path, or to choose wisely in this life and to choose to help someone. I don't know if that answered the question, but that's what I heard.
Yes, when she said that last part, to help someone, I feel when you help someone else, you help yourself as well.
I heard indeed.
Could they, could individuals seek out your guidance in, for them, seeking personal growth and inner peace for themselves?
They can. They can reach for her if they are destined to match with each other.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you stand at the intersection of multiple cultures and religious traditions. What message do you have for fostering understanding and tolerance between different groups of people?
I heard the word peace. She said peace is... She said, it's one of the greatest things here. It's necessary here, but it is the most puzzling for the people on this plane to find peace with each other, despite your culture or your region. It, you know, there is a difficulty with this as you brush up against each other and challenge each other and foment wars with one another. And it will take time for man to arrive at justice and fairness and equality. And it is only through that that the true heart will emerge. She also said, being a compassionate being is how you come together as one being, as one greatness with each other, despite your heritage, and even despite your learning, having compassion. And she used the word insight as well, an insight into the lands of others and into the minds and hearts of others, and seeing their ways, and seeing their learnings and their insights will no doubt inspire you to have it in your heart, a love for their selves, a love for their lands, a love for their something. I'm missing the word. Just for them, I guess. She said, coming together is indeed one of the most inspiring things to see from ours, from a visible perspective, from our perspective, to see a unification of all souls, all spirits, is indeed remarkable. With that said, compassion is necessary for the plight of all men, as there is hardship here upon the land. But we must be calm and collected, and we must be caring individuals and caring for the lives of others as they are equal in truth. This is what is wise, and this is what matters. And she's telling me that she has a great understanding of this, being a mother goddess, because she's seeing it through the lens even of a mother giving birth to everything here and having a connection to it all. And she said, we must take this lens if we are to heal the earth plane and to heal each other, is to understand that we all derive from the same thing. And yes, again, we must be compassionate to each other and to each other's hardships.
So if you could choose one message to share with humanity today, what would it be?
I actually heard her say love and love the inner self. She said, yes, be compassionate towards each other and be compassionate towards yourself. And she wants to say again, yes, love yourself, forgive what has happened in this life, forgive the hardships. And she said, forgive them, although they have increased your strength. Just, yes, be compassionate, be kind. And she said, be devoted and committed to yourself. Love who it is. Okay, hold on. I'm trying to make sure I understood. It's interesting. Okay, I'm just going to say it. She said, love what you have. I'm trying to understand. What do you mean? she said, love the self, love the true inward self. It is a divine light. Love who you are and act from there. Act from that place. It will inspire others.
Love is the answer.
Yeah.
Okay. So if women and men wanted to connect with you, how would they go about it? And are there specific types of offerings you prefer?
She said they can ask to connect. They can put in a request, essentially, to connect to her if there is a reason for them to meet, or if there is assistance that they need specifically, and if they need her type of guidance. If they feel called or drawn towards her, then they may ask for the privilege of the connection. She said, in terms of offerings, of the offering sentiments, what I heard, cakes, like little cakes for her as okay. An offering. And then it's interesting, something as a centerpiece. I heard her say centerpiece, and she's showing me, but I'm trying to figure out like what color candles. I don't know if they look okay. They look, I guess, auburn color, like a reddish, orangish kind of color for the candles. And then, like, what else? What else is there? Yes, incense, myrrh as incense, honey. Those things will help to strengthen the connection when you request her name.
That's awesome. Okay. And then two, I'm going to go back a little bit to a couple other questions that we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
When we were talking about Mother Gaia and other planets having their own deity, like being independent, being who they are, could we say that every galaxy has a Mother Gaia? Since we are in our own galaxy, you know, the Milky Way galaxy, and there's a number of other galaxies. Are there other other Mother Gaias?
Spiritually, yes, but to remember that we are a solar system in a great galaxy. Wait, she said a great spiral galaxy. Are we in a spiral galaxy? We are, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yay. Okay. I was like, okay, did I get that right? In a great spiral galaxy, there are other planetary figures that coexist in this territory, she said, in this place alone. And what she's showing me is that, and there's greater abundance still. So she's showing me that this is what we are. That's what they are, just in this solar system alone. But then in the galaxy, in the Milky Way, there are so many other types of quote unquote solar systems with their own planets. So okay. Specific to them. She is one of many. Like Gaia is one of many.
Okay. I understand.
Okay.
Okay. And this is a really random question for you. Is there any ties to unicorns?
Oh yeah, I know. Cause I was like, why was I saying that? I heard, well, yeah, I'm like, are you tied to this or no? I heard she is not tied to this creature.
Okay.
But she told me it's around me most often, which is interesting. That is why I'm seeing it emerge from, she said, behind the curtain.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cute. I like that.
It's very cute. That's funny. Yeah, not for her, though. It's not associated with her. Mm-mm.
Okay. Okay. Well, I have nothing else. If you have nothing else, Deanna, then I think we are good.
Yes, I think that is the end. So thank you, Ashira or Ashira. We appreciate your presence and your time and answering questions.
Thank you.